Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Macko and Cause podcast. Sorry for none last week. I was away in Florida, as Bob can tell by my glorious tan and horrible Instagram and Twitter messages. First off, hey Bob.
Hi Matthew, it's nice to see you again. You look great.
Thank you.
You look rested.
See, that's a funny one, rested. Our flight kept getting pushed back.
This was yesterday?
This was yesterday. We got the last flight out of Fort Myers. And the worst part is we were sitting at the bar and the bartender says, yeah, it looks like your flight's been canceled. So, because a plane can only land so long, it appears, and at some point you have to shut her down. So I'm now checking to find a flight for today. And do we go back home to where my folks are? Do we rent a hotel? And then thankfully they were able to take off. But when you called this morning saying you were on the Queen streetcar, I was in bed. I didn't even know you were coming because I texted you and I said, hey, good news. At that time, I'm going to be home on Monday. I'll be home by 8:45. You know, I thought I was going to get home last night at like 10 p.m. or something. So when you called me on the streetcar, full scramble mode.
I bet. I kind of sensed that it was either that or you were dead.
Yeah.
Because you never don't respond immediately to texts.
Yeah.
You're very good with that sort of thing. Yeah. No, I got your text last night, but it was my dad's 70th.
Oh, nice. Happy birthday.
And I got home, and it was a Pray for Mojo situation. Mm-hmm. The restaurants on the Danforth, they do not scrimp on portion size. And I will go as long as you go.
Yeah.
Right? If you give me more, I will eat more.
That's true.
Well, you know, you start off with the usual seafood appetizers and, you know, the various pâtés that they bring out, and then Ooh. It was lamb. I went with the lamb.
Always a good move.
Yeah, because it's Ash Wednesday. Lent is about to start, and you know me and my Lenten fasts.
That is true. You will be hardcore.
This is the last time I'm going to be pleasant
for
42 days. So soak it in while you can.
Nice. Yeah, because you texted me this morning going, great, I'm on the way, but I was asleep. Fully asleep.
Yeah, well, that's good. You earned it.
Yeah.
Someone asked me, what am I giving up for Lent? And I said, everything I do on Tuesday. Tuesday's going to be fun. We should do a pod tomorrow. Actually, I wanted to ask you. I got a lot of sports stuff. I prepared a bunch of stuff in case you hadn't followed sports.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you have. So anyway, we got a lot of stuff to get to. But what would be a good pre-Lenten fast red wine? I need something decadent and flavorful. Like the kind of thing that...
Amarone.
Like Amarone?
Yeah, go Amarone.
Yeah, is there a cheap one? Aren't they all like 30 bucks though?
30. I can get you one for 45 bucks.
But, no. I'm not spending 45 bucks.
We're already at 30. Just add $15.
No,
more.
I'm not at 30 because 30 was too much, remember?
Okay.
Something 20 or under, because what do I know?
Get about a Washington wine? State Cabernet Sauvignon. You could find one that's going to be around 20 bucks or so that is going to be Cabernet Sauvignon-y.
Okay, so a Cab Sauv from Wash State.
Yeah.
Got it.
One other thought, and again, happy birthday to your dad.
Great guy, Bob Sr., a true legend in this business.
Wishing you all, yes, at some point you could brag about your dad. We brag about my dad all the time. But right before you arrived, you also knocked on the door, and I said, oh, hello, Bob. And then they didn't come in. Someone was coming in throughout this building cleaning the air ducts.
I saw that. It looks like a war zone out there.
Yeah, so
ductwork everywhere.
A lot happened over the last, from the moment you called to the moment we started doing this pod.
True story. My wife, who is a comedy genius, as you know, was like, we got to get all of our nieces and nephews to get into HVAC. Like, they should all be doing air conditioning because that's where the money is.
Oh, yeah. It's not going away.
Right. And there's only more. As all the construction goes up, you need people who are good at that stuff.
Speaking of that, Bob,
mm-hmm.
I was in Naples, Florida.
Okay.
And I saw the most decadent, and this just relates to what you just said. I saw the most decadent thing I've ever seen in Naples. And I'm not talking about, there was a
It wasn't on your Instagram feed because there were some fairly high towers of seafood you were sending out.
That is true.
It looked good.
Oh, God. Oh, I missed the crab at Pinchers. Oh, I missed the crab at Pinchers so much right now.
I'm so angry.
God, I've seen snow and ice. No, it wasn't the story of someone who spent $47 million on a home and then immediately tore it down.
No.
That happened, but that's not it.
How could that? Okay. All right. You set the bar high here, buddy.
Amy and I were jogging.
Okay.
And she hears me laughing and she wonders what I'm laughing about. We passed a van that their sole job is installing air conditioning units in boats.
In boats?
In boats and yachts. You know, boats, when you're on the high seas with the wind in your face. Air conditioned. That was their business. It just said.
Do you mean cruise ships or just like people's yachts?
No, people's yachts. Not cruise ships. People's yachts. And that on the van, that's all it said. So it's not like, well, you know, they don't have any other side hustle. It's either install air conditioning units in boats or that's all we got.
Matt, we'll get to sports, but first I want you to listen carefully for a sound.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was humanity hitting bottom.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so
anyway, sports.
Let's get on, Lisa. You know what I thought we could call this episode? They Can't Stop Scoring and We Can't Stop Worrying edition of Macko and Cause.
Mm-hmm.
They're on fire. Like, their offense, like, five goals, six goals, five. Like, they're lighting it up.
Except when they play the Islanders.
That was a tough one. No, sure. I mean, in the last five games, they had four great offensive outputs and then one real stinker.
Yeah.
We can talk a bit about that, too. It's a bit long in the tooth now, but we can discuss.
It is.
But it's weird, though, because I don't know if this is just our conditioning, but you look at the two defensemen who go down in Dermott and Garner, and that's worrisome.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You look at all the late starts, right, and how it takes them a period or two to get going. That's worrisome. Freddie Anderson's workload, that's worrisome. Garrett Sparks, and why can't he just seem to be Curtis McElhaney this year? Like, I thought he was supposed to be better than this. That's where, like, you go down the road, and then you just look at the record, and you're like, they can't stop winning, and they're scoring in bunches.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. My instinct says worry. My brain says, shut up.
Okay. I got something in between those two. And I emailed James Myrtle a long message, and he's got back to me. And Myrtle usually gets back to me from The Athletic. I had a theory, because you're right. There's all these really good things. And then you're like, oh, wait, Tampa's 20 points ahead of them and Boston's ahead of them. And then you start getting unnecessarily scared. Could they be the 2012 LA Kings? And I could be so wrong on this.
Okay, so go explain.
I'll do it quick. That team finished eighth, you know, so they're the final seed in the West. And then they go on a massive run. They win the Stanley Cup. Then you go, oh, okay, maybe it's one of those fluke years. You know, like Nashville gets to the finals or, you know, or other teams that sometimes get to the finals just go on a hot streak. But then what do they do after that? They win the Stanley Cup in 2014. And they've about a 4 or 5 year run of one of the best teams in the West when the West was loaded. So I'm thinking, huh, could that be the Maple Leafs? Where at the end of the season, the regular season, you're going, wait a minute, you got way more talent than what your record says. And then you go on a run.
Okay, so there's some thoughts there. Let's unpack it.
Yeah.
Well, the one big difference, I think, is that they're not going to be an 8 seed.
Yeah.
The Leafs are too good for that. And they're too good now, like in the standings. Like, the LA Kings were one of those sleepy teams that is way better than you think they are. They get in, they're playing hot, and next thing you know, they roll over everybody. And hockey seems to generate those.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about that 8 seed in hockey. But anyway, this is what I find so weird about it. I don't know how to talk about them because I don't feel like we can discuss them as a true elite team.
Yeah.
Most people, I think, kind of agree, you know, except for the most hopeful of fans. But they're certainly not a bad team. They feel like they're in that mushy playoff middle. But we can't decide, is this the year they break out of it? Like, I just know there's going to be an enormous amount of disappointment if they don't go on at least a short run.
Yeah, and I think they're better than mushy playoff middle, which is different than regular season mushy middle. There is a difference. But even when you said that, part of me is like, well, how can they be that? Like, look at who's on this team.
But they are that, though. Like, when you think about it, like, you take the 31 teams, you cut it down to 16. They're obviously in the top tier of 31. Mm-hmm. But if they're, like, say, for argument's sake, the seventh best team in hockey.
Yeah.
Well, out of 16 teams, that's the middle.
Mm-hmm. That is.
They are the playoff middle.
They are the playoff middle. I think it was the word mushy that, you know, I was like, hey.
Well, the reason why I call it mushy is nobody really knows what to expect. And nobody really knows what to be disappointed by.
Yeah.
If they lost a really tough series to Boston, I mean, there'd be a Groundhog Day factor. But at the same time, they would have lost to a team that was likely a bit better than them. In a really close series. Like, that feels like an enormous disappointment. Or totally logical.
I'm gonna tell you right now, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
If they lose to Boston, then I'm gonna be upset. I'm gonna say season failure.
Right.
Babcock, TikTok, buddy. You get paid way more than any other coach.
I'm calling it the Bab clock, by the way.
Ooh, Bab clock. He's on the Bab clock. Okay.
you can use that on your show if you want.
Yeah.
Give me credit.
I always give you credit.
Do you?
Oh,
I don't listen, so I don't know.
I steal all the time. But I always credit other people's work. This is not like grade eight French. So, yeah, you know what? Mushy playoff middle, that is kind of where the Leafs seem to be.
Especially as the loss of Gardner and Dermott. I mean, yeah. even if you get both of them back, you don't know who you're getting back. Especially in Gardner, because of the back. That's a tough thing to rehab.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be well enough to play, but not really. Like, we saw how Matthews came back from his shoulder, and, you know, it took him a couple of weeks to sort of get rolling.
And Matthews also much younger. Gardner's older than, you know, what was he, 28?
Yeah, I think he's 26.
Is it okay? I thought he's been playing for...
Well, no, actually, you might be right, 27. You know, I'm always bad with players' ages because they either feel like they're 19
yeah.
or 40.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the middle, I don't care. I feel like the greatest factor to suggest it would be a disappointment is the Tavares factor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you went out and you got a top 10, top 12 player.
Yeah.
In the entire league.
Yeah.
In the entire league. At the most important position of the forwards, you know, like, as a centerman. Like, in theory, if you could play another team so close without him, well, that should be the push over the top, shouldn't it?
It absolutely should be. And yeah, I mean, injuries are the factor. If Kadri, Gardner, and Dermott are clearly injured in the playoffs, fine. That's a different team.
Well, and they lost to this Boston team without Kadri, who was suspended
yeah.
for three games, mm-hmm. which was brutal, right? Like, you forget about it, but that's an important piece to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I would be very disappointed because I don't feel they belong in the mushy middle of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they have to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
They got to prove it.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a tough spot. Did you see the JT celebration?
I followed it all online. I'm not going to lie to you. They ESPN, you know.
They weren't going wall to wall?
They didn't have
as much.
The
Islanders Leafs tilt?
They didn't have as much coverage of that.
Too bad Kyler Murray wasn't playing for the Leafs.
Yeah, it's basically LeBron and his passive aggressiveness and Kyler Murray, the quarterback from Oklahoma. That's most of ESPN right now.
Get to JT in 1 second, but I want to quickly sidebar on LeBron.
Yeah.
At what point can you become so passive aggressive it's just aggressive?
I think we're there. I think we're there. Right. Like, okay, I know I tried to trade y'all, but why aren't you now focused on winning? Why aren't you now?
I think it was Minnesota's fans. I can't remember, but Brandon Ingram was at the free throw line just before the trade deadline, and
yeah.
the whole arena started chanting, "LeBron's gonna trade you."
I think it was the Pacers.
You're right. It was
yeah.
the Pacers.
You're thinking, you were still like, you know, Midwest sort of team. Yeah, it was great.
LeBron's gonna trade you.
And he did. He did try. You know, and
tried hard.
I wouldn't blame him. Just everything is blown from his face, and no LeBron in the playoffs.
That sucks.
That hasn't happened in like 14 years. I think it's one of the reasons why ratings are down in the NBA. And let's face it, every year ratings can go up and down. But I think it's because LeBron plays late at night.
West Coast.
East Coast isn't watching. And now the team is bad. So they become a little bit less relevant. But at the same time, is there anything more interesting than like desperate LeBron James? Because he'll get more aggressive. And who knows what he'll do or what he'll say. Like the idea of the Lakers scrambling to try to make the playoffs after losing teams like Phoenix, that is also really interesting.
In one of those intellectual thought exercise kinds of ways.
Well, it's
more interesting to just watch them in the playoffs.
It is. Oh, of course. But when was the last time you've seen desperate regular season LeBron? It doesn't exist.
Now I can't even remember it.
I can't remember it.
It's got to be 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to JT.
Yeah. Tavares.
Not covered on ESPN, shockingly.
Yeah.
But you still managed to follow. So what were your thoughts when they did their little salute to him?
You know what? First, I'll say this, but the Islander fans, they were a lot louder than I expected. Just from everything I read and just watching some highlights on TSN.tv.
Snakes on the ice and all that garbage.
It was more than I thought. So part of me was like, oh, wow, you guys are more passionate than I thought.
And he's a quiet guy.
Yeah.
Right? He's obviously a thoughtful guy. By all accounts, public and even private, what you hear come out is it was actually hard for him to leave the Islanders.
Yeah.
And they stink.
Yeah.
That's a joke of a franchise. Like, they're barely above the Cleveland Browns of 5 years ago. Their arena stinks. Their ownership stinks. Their practice facility is, I think, somewhere in Massachusetts. There was a lot of reasons for him to leave.
Yeah.
He was on a bad team. He was the best player. He played his guts out. He decided to leave. This was not a Chris Bosch situation where he quit halfway through the season.
Yep.
This wasn't a Vince where he pushed himself out of town.
Yeah.
I think those... You know what this reminded me of, Matty?
Mm.
Those fans booing John Tavares was the fan equivalent of the hockey pseudo tough guy who's got to punish a clean hit.
Mm. Okay.
Which is total BS.
I will say this. I was totally in support of the booing if you want to do one round of booing of Tavares, like let's say pre-game, or the beginning of the game, but to do it the entire game and throwing the snakes and the jersey, that's where I went too far. You want to boo? Go boo. I get it. You're disappointed. You took away your sports happy. But the level of vitriol was a lot more than I expected.
If he had been a bad citizen, if he had been a bad teammate, if he had said, it's just you can't win. But I guess this is great. There's a topic I want to get to. Mm. There's a silver lining to this. I'll address it in a moment.
Yeah.
John Tavares. We like that the Leafs did that, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It was great. I mean, why not cheer? It's a game. It's sports. Cheering is fun. So, cheer away. And at the same time, I'll say I did not have the level of vitriol that a lot of people did at Steve Simmons when Steve Simmons was tweeting out, this is ridiculous. And some old school people, that's what old school people are going to think when it comes to hockey. Me, I'm like, if you don't like it, fine. But I thought it was great, and I'm glad they did it. I'm glad they did it because, Tavares, it doesn't matter how rich you are. Take, as I always say, money is one of the ultimate barriers to sports empathy. So it was great that people, gave him that sort of accolades.
I loved it. The helmet was off. The stick was up. He was standing there on his own. And the city does love the guy. And it's not just because he's a great player and he came here.
Yeah.
That's part of it. But it's not like Kawhi. This is different. He committed to the team. And he's from here, and there's all the jammies, as the Islanders fans were chanting out, where's your jammies?
Which was fun cheer. That was a good cheer.
That's a great one. There's been some great chirps lately. You got to love smart fans.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the silver lining, though.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw this out as a rank'em. The Islanders have become a legitimate rival to the Leafs now. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't go into the season. I mean, the Lou Lamoriello thing was kind of interesting. But now, after this game and the fact the Islanders are playing really well.
Yep.
So let's rank them here. The most likely team to become the Leafs' next great rival.
Okay.
The Habs, the Islanders, the Sabres.
I'm going to get rid of the Habs right now because it's basically Carey Price and the rest. And by the way, shout out that Carey Price video of him hugging that kid.
So good.
Oh my God. Like just all of us, like Amy and her twin sister here, they're both emotional. Like I watched that and like I'm glad no one is around because I openly wept.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Oh yeah. And I'm like, nope, I'm crying. And I don't care if you're crying. I've got too many tears to see if you're crying.
And shout out to Mitch Marner because there was that little girl with leukemia.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, that was a very beautiful thing, too.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Okay, so we'll cross off the Habs from the list because they're a paper tiger.
Yeah.
No, wait. They're the opposite of a paper tiger. They're...
What's a paper tiger again? When it looks tough, but isn't?
They're an iron frog.
All right.
They play tough, but there's not much there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
The Iron Frog.
Buffalo, man, after that nice run over the last month of the first month and a half, they stink. Why not the Islanders? There is Matt Barzal, Anders Lee, there is some, and Lou Lamoriello is really good at what he does.
And Barry Trotz.
And Barry Trotz is really good.
He's probably the best coach in hockey right now.
Yes, absolutely.
He's certainly going to be coach of the year.
As he should be. So I go the Islanders. I like the infrastructure. I mean, yes, Jack Eichel is a better player than anyone on the Islanders. However, the Islanders got the better infrastructure.
I don't know if he's way better than Matt Barzal. Matt Barzal's a hell of a hockey player. The other thing here is,
if you want to do a Barzal versus Eichel, listen to one of those stupid number-themed podcasts, like ones that start with 31. Go listen to one of those dumb ones.
Where you don't learn anything about hockey?
One with Down Goes Brown or Wyshynski. Those losers.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? A couple iterations of this team ago, right? Of the Leafs. Like the Islanders and them had some brutal playoff series. Really violent. And there was, the burning of jerseys and the parking lot. Like there is some territory to build on there.
Yeah.
I did not think the Islanders would be a legitimate. I thought it'd be the Sabres. Going into this year, I thought they are going to grow together.
Yeah.
And they're going to hate each other. You got the four or the QEW, the fact that Babcock spurned them.
Yep.
You've got the Eichel versus Matthews stuff.
It was all set up.
We got a Nylander. You got a Nylander. It felt like it was going to happen.
Yeah. And right now, it's certainly taking a speed bump. Right now, you've got to go the Islanders because damn what we saw. And also for the Leafs right now, they might have the better future. But the Islanders beat them 10-1 in two games. So right now the belt goes to the Islanders, not the Leafs.
Now what happens if they offer sheet Andreas Janssen?
Oh, that'd be so good.
You know that Lou is waiting to take another crack at the piñata.
Oh, God. If that happens and I'm working, let it happen on a slow news day. Don't give me that in the day where LeBron James punches Lonzo and LeVar Ball, you know, just dual punching. Like, you know, give it to me on a day where it's slow. That's what
the
I need.
The Marvel Comics double punch.
The Marvel Comic double punch, yeah.
There's a little bit of hand-wringing that's starting because he's not going to sign during the season. And why would he? He's playing great. He's
playing great.
He's going to fluff up the numbers. You know? But they're going to have problems. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have problems on left wing if they do lose him.
Yep.
Because I don't care what anyone's... Marlowe every once in a while will have a good shift or a pretty successful game, but let's not kid ourselves.
We're just counting down. We're counting down.
And it's not going to be any better next year.
No, it's not. No, we're just counting down. I would seriously recommend if I was Matthews or Marner, keep sending out more photos of you hanging out with Marlowe's family because we need that to distract us from just the wasteland that is Patrick Marlowe now. And hey, tip of the cap, great career, but all things must come to an end.
I don't think they're going to offer sheet Mitch Marner, but I do think they might offer sheet.
That'd be great. I mean, again, we
It'd
always
be a great
say
move.
This.
We need a heel. You need a heel.
You
Look,
need a heel.
I don't want him to go, but that's the point, right? Yeah. Like, it would be awful. It would really hurt.
Yeah, and also, hey, it's a tip of the cap to the organization. No one's looking at the Coyotes going, who are we going to offer sheet from that team?
Yeah, it's true. Although they are getting better and better all the time.
Yeah.
Do you want to do one of your non-read reads before we move on to the next topic?
You know who I'm getting together with on Saturday night?
Are you getting together with Jeff Pollock?
Me and Jeff Pollock are getting together. We texted yesterday.
Nice.
The wife's away, and guess what he's going to be?
Yours or his?
His.
Okay, just
Well, both. Mine is also flying. And he's going to be getting out some duck and some good wine. And you know why? Because he's a good guy.
Hang on a second before you go on. Is he cooking the duck?
I don't care. There'll be duck present.
Isn't duck hard to cook?
Yeah, he's a good cook.
Yeah, he sent me pictures once of himself flambéing stuff.
Yeah. Ooh, flambéing.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
He looked jaunty while he was doing it.
I'll never flambé.
So he's a good guy. He's a lawyer, yada, yada, yada. His wife's an accountant, da, 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 da. What else?
Wow, Bob. You know what? You got to put a little heart and emotion into this. Doesn't he put heart and emotion into trying to protect your daughter?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen him in a year.
Doesn't Jeff Pollock try to make sure that Cece's financial future is set? And despite all your barriers of entry, he keeps trying. That's how good of a lawyer he is. He's our lawyer on this show. He's our title sponsor. And if you need a lawyer, you should contact him. He's fantastic. JeffPollock.com. That's Jeff with a G. JeffPollock.com. 416-777-0088. That number again. 416-777-0088.
I want to ask him about Andrew Scheer and what his thoughts are on Andrew Scheer, because he's a big conservative party supporter, and I'm not.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious about Scheer, because as Trudeau begins to whiff and whiff more and more, this could be a minority government for the conservatives.
It could. And also, I'll just say this to someone pointed this out on Twitter, because like I like to think of myself as sometimes left, sometimes right. Mm-hmm. The conservative government, the big concern was the border. We must protect you from everyone, the hordes that are coming to the border. And then you have just all the clown show that's going on with Trudeau. And now it's all SRC or SNC, where the hell it is the name. I've been in Florida last week, so I've had a week off from that.
It was good stuff, though.
Yeah.
It was good. It was drama.
Yeah. And listen, Trudeau, shame on you. Shame on the government. But so that's the number one shame on them. But it's like, all the messaging seemed to shift. Is the border safe now?
It's like Trump's caravan.
Yeah.
Which was an incredible emergency. Yeah. And then it wasn't for about 6 weeks. And then it was again.
Yeah, that caravan.
Yeah, I'm worried about that caravan.
Yeah.
Depending on the day, we don't know where it is. But
it's
sometimes
true.
We do know where it is.
It's going to strike.
I want to talk to you about John Candy.
Yep.
I got a Leafs and Jays comparison. Ooh. Rebuild. Yeah, it was kind of a
today
general...
would have been John Candy's birthday. I'm sure most people know.
25 years ago, we lost him. I think maybe the greatest Canadian comic talent ever. Maybe. I decided on the way over here I wasn't going to rank anything. I wanted to do a top 10 John Candy roles, but then I thought, you know what? I don't want to rank.
Yeah.
I don't want to put him against other comedians and all of his roles. Like, there's so many great ones.
Yeah.
I just don't want to do it. I want this to be a
memorial. Another day you could certainly do it. You know 68 years old, who would have been?
You know what I realized on the way over here? And you and I have talked a bit about this, and you remind me of John Candy. Mm-hmm. Because there are certain people who are funny because they're brilliant, and they have a comic edge to their intelligence.
Voila.
Yeah, no, that's me. And
damn it.
No, I'm kidding. No, like that's like a Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Like somebody who's just so sharp in their mind, and they just have such a... like surgical wit, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Candy wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. Like, Candy was not a cerebral comedian.
No.
He was the kind of guy, and like you, and I'm not saying that you're not smart, because you're super smart, but you have the ability to walk into a room and people are ready to laugh.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody ever had that like John Candy.
No.
The second you looked at him, you felt good. You were ready to laugh. You were going on whatever he said. I'm going on that journey.
Yeah, I'm getting on that 3-day cruise.
That's right. Sure. I'm getting in the back of the bus with the polka band from Home Alone. I'm with you.
Or the Schwenke brothers.
Oh my God.
If you're gonna do Polka Brothers.
He was so funny. And I think I've said this before, but I've done a bunch of reading on SCTV, and that was a smart room. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis, like just all the people who passed through it, like really, really intelligent people. And some of them were really very like a Eugene Levy, let's rehearse, let's really figure it out. Not Candy.
Yeah.
Candy was just like, give me the gist of it. I'm going to go out there and be funny.
Yeah.
Like he didn't need to wake up, like he wasn't sitting at home rehearsing Johnny LaRue.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, no, no. No, he wasn't getting all Stanislavski as he's getting ready for the beef and booze.
Right. Exactly. You know, but then you think about all the brilliant things he would do, the little touches, right? Just the way he would dab it, like the way he would butt his cigarette.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just, he was Johnny LaRue.
It's my favorite, like, and it's always hard. It's my favorite of his SCTV characters.
He's, LaRue?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 100%. And I'm going over his roles. You know, just he was always, you know, he was rarely the star, but he always made, I shouldn't say, but like Brewster's Million. Was great.
Totally underrated.
It's Spike Nolan.
And he even looks like a back catcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was just great in that.
Him and Richard Pryor, don't you feel like that should have been a brilliant movie and somehow just missed?
It did.
Because it wasn't a bad movie. I think it's underrated.
Yeah.
But.
Well, the great thing about Brewster's Million is when you're watching that movie, you're thinking, what would I do? You know, like you would totally fantasize. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what age you are, you're going to do it. Like when I watched as a kid, it would be like, you know, candy, toys, rent a plane to fly me. Like, I don't know. Like, they're just, but then as an adult, you know, you're changing it around.
And if someone doesn't know the plot of Brewster's Millions, he's like the descendant of some super, super rich guy.
Yeah.
This guy was like a minor league pitcher, Richard Pryor. And he's got a challenge. He can either take $3 million up front, or he can try to spend $30 million
in 30 days
to win $300 million.
Yeah.
But he can have nothing to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
And
it has to be spent.
Anyone.
And he can't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So he goes through all kinds of tricks, like drinking super expensive wine.
Mm-hmm.
He rents all his furniture in a rented apartment.
Runs a political campaign. And his,
yeah, right.
And his message is, don't vote for me. Or say, you know, anyone but me. So
that was it, wasn't it? Anyone but me?
I forget.
We should look that up.
Yeah.
I always thought if it were me, I would just eat. I would eat $30 million of food.
But you'd be dead. You can't spend the
$300. Oh, but happy though.
Yeah.
So happy and dead.
Yeah, I feel bad for the guys who carry a home.
I was going to say, they would have to bury me in a piano.
Yeah. We're gonna,
a grand piano.
We're going to need, what are they called? The people that lift up the coffin.
Pallbearers.
But we're going to need more pallbearers.
Actually, you do a good pallbearer impersonation.
Oh, Bob Mackiewicz, if you want to buy tickets, you go to SeatGiant. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. SeatGiant.ca, and we'll get back to John Candy. SeatGiant.ca, use the discount code Bob and Matt at checkout to save money. Think of them as Ticketmaster, except they're a Canadian-owned, operated company, and it's all in Canadian dollars, so you don't have to worry about trying to convert from American to Canadian, all that jazz. SeatGiant.ca. Use the discount code Bob and Matt, and you will save money on your tickets.
Who is a new John Candy? And it doesn't have to necessarily be like the big guy, because he's sort of the archetype of like the big, avuncular, Jackie Gleason type. But
Melissa McCarthy?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, I think you nailed it. God, she was funny at the Academy Awards.
She was great.
She was so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one, Matt.
Yeah, Melissa. Well, I've been thinking about it recently because, like, comedy's hard. And sometimes your star hits the top and then it falls.
Right.
Like Amy Schumer. And it's not that Amy Schumer can't come back up. Just right now, you know, done some bad movies. We haven't seen much. Maybe she's preparing a special. But Melissa McCarthy is still, you know, and she was nominated for Can You Ever Forgive Me. You know, she's still knocking out good stuff.
I think that's a great pick. I love that. And she has that naturally funny thing,
mm-hmm,
where she just shows up.
Yeah.
And the look on her face and you're ready to laugh.
Yeah. She's got her reaction, like her facial reactions are always fantastic.
For me, it's Amy Poehler was the one I was going to pick. I just think every time I look at Amy Poehler, I'm ready to laugh. And mm-hmm, she has the funniest facial expressions.
Yeah.
And She's a really smart comic, but I don't find her to be intimidating.
Yeah.
The way some smart comics can be. It's not like watching Bill Maher.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for him to yell at you.
Yeah, exactly.
In between
get
jokes.
Angry at you for having children.
Or whatever it is that is up his ass that day.
Well, no, I don't think I can do a Bill Maher.
No, that's not such a bad thing.
But yes, we missed John Candy from Strike. I mean, and the thing is, we don't even need to talk about the number one, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's such a no-brainer.
We've talked about it so many times in the past.
It is such a brilliant movie.
Yeah, so I wanted to mention some other ones.
Love him. Love John Hughes. Who is a bigger muse to John Hughes? Who is the greater muse, John Candy or Molly Ringwald?
Oh, I think you gotta go Molly Ringwald.
So do I, but it almost feels like there's two phases of his career. Like the young John Hughes expresses himself through Molly Ringwald.
Yeah.
As he gets older, he finds his perfect foil in John Candy.
That's a good one.
That's a tough one,
That's a good question.
Because he did an awful lot of great work with Candy.
Huh. Yep.
That's a tough one. Maybe we should throw that out on our Instagram account.
Sure.
Next to the Towers of Crab that you posted.
Oh, God. I got to tell you. Like, just... And Amy doesn't like fish. And I'm like, okay, one of the days in Naples...
How are you with her?
We survive. Every menu's got non-fish. One place called Pinchers. And it's right on the water. And, you know, they put the brown paper down.
So good.
And they bring all the accoutrement. And, like, my hands are just filled in juices and stuff, just trying to... And it's hard. Eating crab, and this is, you know, first world problem, but eating
it's
crab...
It's not even first world. It's like 0.5 world.
It's hard to do to extract the delicious crab because it's, you know, in the shells, and you got all the different devices to get rid of it.
It's nutcrackers. It's not that hard. And then you get the sticky pokey thing that you got to pull. I told you my most bourgeois injury ever was I got an infected finger from eating crab.
Wow. No, you've never told me.
Yeah, I got like a little cut on my finger from cracking the leg open. You know, it's got all those like little Barbie things, those pointy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I jabbed myself with one. It got infected and I had to wrap up my finger. Like I'm walking around with a bandage on my hand.
What happened?
I was eating crab.
Yeah. No, but wait, do you remember where you were?
Like I was at home.
You're at home? You're at home.
Yeah.
That's even more.
It is.
No one eats crab at home. You eat crab when you go out.
No, it's kind of an Italian thing.
Oh, okay. I mean,
Italians love to do big seafood meals. Mm-hmm. So we were doing that. Best seafood I ever had was in California, a shack just outside of Malibu. But then in Massachusetts. Oh. Then everybody's got to go to Cape Cod at least once and eat crazy seafood. Okay, so I got two choices for you here.
Yeah.
Do you want to do wraps? Pistons from last night.
Yep.
Or do you want to do Leafs versus Jays rebuild?
Leafs versus Jays rebuild.
Okay. I prepared this topic for you because I wasn't sure if you'd been watching much sports.
Yeah.
And it dawned on me, the Jays spring training has started to much fanfare. They're such a hard team to like right now. And I thought about all the things that the Leafs got right.
Yeah.
And all the things that the Jays are doing wrong. So I'm just going to toss out a list and you discuss as you see fit, okay? Ways the Jays got it wrong and the Leafs got it right. The Leafs were unlikable when it was time to blow up the team. And the Jays were so likable when it was time to blow up the team. And I think that really, more than anything, shapes how we sit with both those clubs. Like when you think back to the Leafs and the stupid salute gate and just the team...
The team wasn't very good. Phil Kessel was miscast in that role, you know, and everyone wanted him to be. Yeah, it was a very unlikable team, and no one liked management, and people were tired, and no one liked Carlisle or before that, Ron Wilson. And
Brian Burke had worn out his stay. Dave Nonis wasn't exactly someone you loved.
Hey, I will not hear a bad word about Dave Nonis. That man is a bleeping treasure.
I interviewed him a bunch of times, actually. Oh, he was a very nice man.
So nice. Amy loves Dave Nonis. Loves. Seriously, lights up. I'm like, oh, yeah, Nonis was on. She's like, really? But yes, they were not. You're right. They absolutely were not likable. And when the Blue Jays needed to start to break it up, we were still on the glow of 15 and 16.
You didn't want to see Bautista go. You felt bad about Russell. Russell Martin stuck around so long. Now that he's with the Dodgers, you don't feel so bad because he doesn't really. But you're just trying to hang on to that glory. And it felt like the whole time the front office was trying to shove them out the door. And the fans were keeping them in.
Yeah.
And that, again, was the opposite of the Leafs and the Jays rebuild. Like, can you think of a front office in recent Toronto memory that's as unlikable as Shapiro and Atkins?
They're so unlikable because it's a combination of no personality and complete subterfuge. Like, I expect my general manager and my coach to lie to me. In fact, I want them to.
The J.P. Ricciardi. What is it? It's not lying if we know the truth.
Yeah, but just there's a way of doing it that they don't have. And they're stuck with the whole Vlad Guerrero Jr. thing. But, man, I got to tell you, part of me is like, I'd rather they'd come out and go, this guy deserves to be here the full time. We'll deal with that extra year down the road.
Although they can't because the conditions of the CBA.
I know, but they can go CBA be damned. They could have gone last year and go CBA be damned. Come on up. Let's start developing you now. Yep, big picture. This might hurt us because we're going to have to deal with your unrestricted free agency a year earlier. But we're confident in ourselves. We're confident in this organization. So be damned. You deserve this.
Think about the difference in the feeling we all have as fans between Austin Matthews is getting ready to play his first game,
yeah,
and Vladdy Guerrero is getting ready to play his first game.
Yeah.
One is like a coronation of the next king, and we're all excited, and then he plays against the Habs and gets four goals, and it was textbook.
Yeah.
You couldn't have done it better. With Vladdy Guerrero, the closer we get to the season, the madder everyone gets.
Oh, yeah, we're just angry. We're angry at the Jays. We're angry at the CBA. We're angry at the fact they're lying, you know, and I'm sure they're nice people, but they're not very likable. And I don't know if that's by design. Maybe when the cameras are off, Ross and Shapiro might be just delights. No, I have no idea.
And it doesn't help that they replaced Alex Anthopoulos in a way that was totally dodgy. And yeah, everyone felt that he got the axe for bad reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then he winds up in Atlanta and they're succeeding.
Yeah.
And he went to the Dodgers. And even though he wasn't in a power position with the Dodgers, there was success there. So you get rid of a guy who everyone loves for bad reasons, and he has success everywhere else, and you bring in two guys who are having no success and piss everyone off.
You know what? I can talk about this.
Okay.
Because when you're new dad, you've got to overcompensate with the kids that you're inheriting, the woman you're marrying. And I bring this up because, my mom and dad both had three marriages. They love weddings. My mom's current husband, Sesto, fantastic guy. You know what he used to do when Josh and I were, my twin brother Josh, when we were little kids? He used to bring us a bag of Smarties each from the bulk store.
That's smart.
Oh my God. When mom and Sesto, when they decided to get married, I mean, beyond the fact that he's a really good guy and he treats her great and all that kind of stuff, but I go back in my head and I remember those Smarties. Oh, I love those Smarties. And you know why?
And you can be bought with candy.
Oh, I absolutely can, easily. But you know what? Shapiro and Atkins, where's our bag of Smarties? We never got a bag of Smarties here.
Well, the bag of Smarties is Vladdy Guerrero, and we got to wait 9 games to get it.
Yeah. Or the big thing they're talking about is how they're having better seats at Sky Dome. I don't care about that. Give them my damn Smarties.
So comparing the Leafs and the Jays rebuild, then I started thinking about the coach. Even before they were good players with the Leafs, or they were very young.
Yeah.
Like, think about that year where they were 30th. Mm-hmm. The P.A. Parento year, as I like to call it. The Michael Grabner year.
Brad Boys.
Yeah, it's almost like a party game to read that roster over again.
Yeah.
But there was somebody who was really good there.
Mm.
Mike Babcock.
Yep.
They went out. They courted him.
Yep.
They got him. They threw crazy amounts of money at him. And so there was this feeling that the rebuild was going to begin with someone really smart at the helm.
Because you had legitimacy.
100%. There was track record.
Yeah.
He was coveted. They spent an insane record-setting amount to get him. It was like, we won't stop at anything to get this guy.
Yeah.
Charlie Montoya?
I hear he's a nice fella. And
apparently he's into stats.
Yeah, into stats and also excellent in terms of being able to communicate with Latin players.
Yep, bilingual.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But it's hard to get excited about it.
Oh, it's very hard.
Yeah, I don't know. And Joe Girardi's out there.
Yeah.
Would it have made a difference if you went and got Joe Girardi?
I don't know. Yeah,
but all I know is there's no intellectual core to the rebuild. Like, you don't sit there and say, okay, and the Leafs went out and got a brain trust,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they spent, and this is sort of another one of the points, like, the Jays feel cheap right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're just waiting. They're happy to go through 3 or 4 years of not spending tons of dough. From day one, the Leafs spent on everything they could, according to the CBA, and that was people up top. Think about all the consultants. Jacques Lemaire was part of the Leafs for a while. Like, there wasn't a person in hockey who was available that they didn't give some money to come and help think things out.
Yeah.
They went and got Kyle Dubas, who was the young genius. Mark Hunter.
Lou Lamoriello.
Oh, we got to balance the young geniuses. Great. Let's get Lou with his cups. Like, the Jays are the opposite of that right now.
They spare no expense. And it seems to the Blue Jays, their financial plan is this. well, hopefully a lot of Yankee and Red Sox fans are going to come here about like 16 times a year.
If we're bad enough, it'll encourage tourism.
At the very least, we know this. All those home games against the Yankees and the Red Sox, we're going to get a really good, we're going to get a great gate on those days.
So what can save the Jays season for you? I mean, in the end, this was the, I feel like we got to talk about it. Spring training has started.
Yep.
I mean, Devin Travis has knee inflammation.
I know. Devin Travis was like in near tears yesterday. It's like, what year is this? Here's what can save it. Obviously, first, Vlad.
Vladdy.
I mean, that's first and foremost. Second is that Stroman and Sanchez both get back to being their best versions of themselves.
And get traded for prospects.
And then get traded for prospects.
I didn't even mention in this whole thing about the Jays is that they're two arguably best players, the carryovers. Like Marcus Stroman pisses all over the team on the first day.
Yeah.
And Aaron Sanchez... Who the hell knows what to expect from him? But whatever you get, Scott Boras is going to ruin it for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's the other part is you can't fully enjoy someone if their success means, oh, good, we can get a better prospect when we trade them. Because you can't fully emotionally invest yourself as a fan.
Well, especially in baseball. Like, I know the farm system is quite good and there are players who are coming up, but it's not like...
They don't have Kyler Murray in their farm system.
Who apparently isn't that tall, from what I hear.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
As I got brought up. They also now bring up his weight on ESPN. When they get bored about talking about his height, they bring up his size. Will he be able to take hits? It's quite clever of them. It's very clever.
Yeah. You got to keep throwing logs on the fire, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I keep saying to myself, I'm going to be interested in the Jays this year. But I know it's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering, who will I be less interested in, the Jays or the Argos?
Well, for me, it's CFL.ca's own Matt Kaas.
True.
It's going to be the Blue Jays because, you know, Argos, new coach. You know, they actually did better in free agents. They brought in Darrell Walker. It's now with James Franklin. Ooh, actually, the Argonauts have a chance to do something really unique.
What's that?
What if Brandon Bridge actually becomes good? And we saw flashes of it. I'm sure everyone did as
Who's
well.
Who's that?
Quarterback was with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, actually had success. But here's the thing. He's from Toronto. Imagine a Canadian quarterback who has sustained success in the CFL. We haven't seen that in decades. Like, you know, so that actually could be something you can market a little bit.
So while you were talking,
yeah,
I actually imagined myself getting up from the table,
mm-hmm.
going upstairs,
yeah.
putting on pajamas,
yeah.
crawling into bed,
uh-huh.
taking a nap,
sure.
waiting for you to finish.
Done.
Coming back down.
I'm done.
Having a coffee.
Sure.
And picking back up with anything more interesting.
Brandon Bridge, Bob, he is more interesting than I think anything that the Blue Jays have right now beyond Vlad Guerrero Jr.
That might be true.
Yeah.
Vladdy better be good.
Yeah, Vladdy better be
good. That's all
I
can say. And it's so unfair to put that pressure on that kid.
I know. Oh, it is. But
he's 19 years old.
He's 19 years old. And he's the face of the Blue Jays. Like, he is totally, he's a 19-year-old kid.
They're going to make him captain. They're going to make him captain of the team. Yeah. He's not even going to be on the team because he's going to be in the minors.
He's co-captain. He's captain of the Bisons, the Blue Jays, whatever team that they're like, oh, he's not ready yet, but he will be on April like 14th. I know we have to cut this short.
We do, because I have a meeting.
But do you want to promote?
Right, of course.
Do you want to promote up to, Bob?
Yeah, I've been super busy lately.
Hey, everybody, remember to check into the wine, Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with interesting people. No, go. What's going on?
So we cut a trailer for our TV show, We Being George and I'm. And
who's George?
Strombolopoulos.
There you go.
And we have a production company together. We made the show that does the live concerts from his house.
Yep.
And after TSN decided, we'll call it an uncoupling. We would have a conscious uncoupling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we uncoupled.
Yeah.
George and I coupled.
Yeah.
And so we got a new project that's coming out. Mm-hmm. CBC is behind us. We're very excited about it. We're out there looking for financing, which means we're part of the IPF's trailer competition.
Mm.
So the more you can watch it, it would be great. Go to my socials. Go to George's socials. There's a trailer there for a show called Watching the Detectives.
Yeah.
We worked on it last year and we put something together, but the story has changed substantially since then.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, that's just development. Stories, it's nuts how they change. But anyway,
yeah.
Very proud of it. Very excited. Spent the last couple weeks in an edit suite, cutting, working on it. If you get a chance, on Twitter or go to the CBC and find it. It's called Watching the Detectives. And, I'll let you know more about it as things go on. But we've got Ian Campo from, he used to be in A Tribe Called Red.
Yep.
A great DJ. He's in it. Mishi Mee, rap legend.
Yep.
The very funny Angelo Sarukas.
Who you love may Angelo from Off the Record Days. Yeah,
such a funny guy. He plays a corrupt priest. So it's good. It's funny. It's got action. Check it out.
Okay. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
Bob,
thanks.
Congrats.
I'm very proud of it. Very proud of it.
You know, when the release came out, social media release came out, we were in Florida. I was like, hey, look at that. And I now do follow the official Watching the Detectives Twitter account. So in terms of celebrity push, I'm sorry.
That's huge. Have you tweeted it out?
Yeah.
Have you retweeted
it? I've retweeted, yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. You've got several thousand people who find you interesting.
I'm getting close to 8,000. I don't think I have many bots or like, you know, those like dirty Lolita-esque, you know, Twitter accounts that are just gross.
I've started going through Instagram and I'm paring down all questionable accounts.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I chose them.
Yeah.
I chose them. But they're still questionable.
It's one of my proudest moments when I on air shamed you to stop following
Paulina Gretzky.
Oh, that was one of my proudest moments.
I still haven't. I can't bring myself to do it.
Anyway. Bob.
She's getting us. Hey, wait. I got one more thing I want to go
okay. over. Oh, no. I'm worried about you and your timing. But no, yeah. I'm here.
I want to make a pact.
Yeah.
I want to make a pact with you.
Yep.
I was on the streetcar on the way over here today.
Okay.
And I picked 10 people in my general vicinity.
Yeah.
And six of them had their faces buried in their phones.
Yeah.
You and I will not look at our phones on the TTC for the rest of March. It was so depressing, Matt.
Okay,
I looked around. Yep. It was so depressing. Everyone's face is just buried in their phone. And the thing, the whole streetcar, was as silent as a tomb.
Mm.
It was like nobody was in it. But it was filled. There was about 100 people in it. And everyone just staring at their phones.
Done.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. We're shaking on it.
We're shaking on it.
We're not going to look at our phones.
No.
I do it a lot more than you do, so it's going to be harder for me.
It's going to be a lot harder for
you. And I'm on the TTC all the time, harder for me.
I usually just go to like, you know, King and Young and get off there. It's usually when I'm there. Right. All right, done and done.
All right, so we're done and done.
You got to go. You got
to meet. If you can come to my place later this week, I've got a Scrumbo's out of town he's going to South by Southwest pretty soon, so I'm going to be at home working.
Yep.
If you bring the stuff, we can do another pod from my place.
Sure.
But I got stuck in the traffic today. Mm-hmm. I can't make it to the East End.
Yeah.
If you come to the West End, we'll do one more this week.
Done and done. Yeah, okay. Make that work. Yeah, for sure.
All right. You look handsome, Matt. You look good.
Tanned, Bob.
You look rested.
Tanned.
Rested.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Good to be back.
Yep. See you, pal.
All the best.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.